Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, who show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider for Clutch Points. And today on the show, I am joined by Raj Tapalu, who like seconds before we went live, Raj, I saw you tweet out your Adu Tierro or Tierro piece. So I haven't read it yet.
Sure.
And this time I have an actual excuse, right? Like normally when I don't read stuff, it's because I just choose not to. But this time it's like, I haven't read it yet, Raj.
You have an out.
I promise.
Yes, you have an out this time. Yes, I dropped it too. It dropped this morning. I'm just barely sharing it. So
well, you should
you don't have, so you don't have as much. Out. You don't have as much leeway here, but I'll give you a little bit for sure.
I promise I will get to it. I am excited to get to it. You were very excited to write that up. And based on some of the clips and stuff that you were tweeting out, you know, there's a lot to like there. Maybe we'll talk about that at the end of the show. We'll also talk a little bit about, because I guess on Great Western Forum, we talked about Tierro, but you and I haven't talked about him yet on this show, right?
Well, I was thrown live. I drove right back from the beach from talking to Dalton, and I went right on a camera, and I was very honest before we recorded that. I said, I have not looked up a single thing about this guy. I'm going fully on our guy Mike at Cannon Driver, you know, was his analysis, but it was exciting to kind of dive into him. And, oh, man, what an athlete that dude is. Jumps off the screen. But, we have not spoke about him, Anthony. No, we have not.
All right. Well, we will. We will. To make up for some of the dark and doom and gloom that I'm sure will come up in the run up to that point, we will talk about Adu Tierro. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk also near the end of the show about Jake LaRavia and the addition that he might be. Before we get to that, we'll talk about obviously the noise and stuff that has been surrounding my report from, was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday. About what fell through or how things fell through with Dorian Finney-Smith. I don't want to spend a ton of time on it because I don't want to be the story, but in this kind of day and age when people are keeping score on what reporters get right or wrong, I guess we do have to be a part of the story. So we'll talk a little bit about that. We will talk about the center trade market that the Lakers are apparently active on, according to Dave McMenamin one of the funniest reports I have ever heard. We'll talk a little bit about that. Obviously, DeAndre Ayton is at the forefront of a lot of your guys' minds as well. So we'll touch on that too. Busy, busy, busy stuff. As we put a wrap on day two of free agency, which was not a very fruitful one for the Lakers. Quick reminder, please do hit that subscribe button if you guys are new here. If you guys are watching on Twitter, head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge to find the show there and, you know, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, all of that good stuff. And then if you guys are listening to this in the morning via pod or in pod form, please hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you get your podcasts, preferably on Odyssey, because I am a company man. All right. I'm just going to start by playing this little clip that Harrison found from Rob Lowe's, or no, not Rob Lowe, Zach Lowe's show about Rob Lowe, about the Rob Lowe lookalike. We'll go ahead and play that.
Kenny Smith situation. That's going to be the tell for me for how the Lakers are thinking about things. Because I heard negotiations were going badly. And I said, like, would he even opt out? Do the Lakers even want to pay him? The answer to that turned out to be no, they didn't want to pay him and he opted out. And I don't think they ended on very good terms either.
They did not end on very good terms. The negotiations, as I talked about, right? The Finney Smith opted out. And I don't know. What I'm trying to learn is whether that caught the Lakers by surprise, him opting out in the first place. I can't say one way or another there, but then he opted out. And what I do think surprised the Lakers was how bountiful his market was. That I do believe took the Lakers by surprise. And as I said the other day, Rob went out there and talked to a couple of teams, a couple other people around the league about Dorian's surgically repaired ankle in an effort to bring his market down to what the Lakers were a little bit more comfortable with. Reports out there now are that the Lakers offered him a 2-year deal in that ballpark of $14 million or so, I would imagine. And Dorian was able to double that deal, right, in terms of years value on it, and is now a Houston Rocket. And look, I again, I don't want to spend a ton of time on this. I saw Jovan kind of touched on this a little bit. Trevor had touched on this a little bit. Lowe, I just played there as well. I wouldn't make this up. And had I made it up, I would be like, there would be grounds for suing me, right? Because that puts into question Rob's abilities at his job. And would potentially impact the way that other players see the Lakers, right? So I don't talk about that stuff lightly. I heard about it. It played a role in Dorian Finney-Smith's departure, and I felt like it was part of the story. And here we stand. So it's like, as I said in one of the shows that I did today, yes, I grew up a Laker fan. Yes, I remain a Laker fan. Yes, as Ethan and I talked about in a couple episodes ago, or a few episodes, whenever we talked a few weeks ago, I have a vested interest in the Lakers being good and more popular and those things because my content grows. All of that falls secondarily to my responsibilities as somebody who tries to report stuff. And I've always told you guys that, like, I am going to try to explain to you, or if you, you know, when you finish watching my show, I want you guys to be able to understand why things are the way that they are. If the Lakers are really good, I want to explain to you why the Lakers are really good. If the Lakers are really bad or there's a negative story out there about them, I would like to be able to explain to you what's going on there. And that's all I was trying to do here. And, you know, I unfortunately, some people online, I think, took it a little far in my DMs and in my mentions and stuff like that. I hope y'all are okay, and I hope y'all find God. That's honestly all I have to say on this. It's like, it's out there. It's been out there. I said it, and hopefully we can all move on.
Yeah. Sometimes Twitter and online is not a real place. So sometimes you have to remember that, and I have to remember that, you know, as well. Yeah. Some of the comments and the DMs you get when you put out stuff that people don't want to hear. I think you're trying to be transparent with that in terms of the information that went out. It's sad in terms of how that happened, how it, you know, went down. I just think they offered him a 2-year deal. And obviously the extra information that, you know, ended the relationship between those two. I'd be shocked, Anthony, if they were surprised he opted out, right? I would hope that's something that was
I would hope so too.
That he's been here since December, end of December. Hopefully some conversations happened. I was thinking about this too. If the Rockets don't get Kevin Durant, do they give Dorian a 4-year deal probably not, right? Or, you know, it just, I think getting KD open up avenues to where they can make a lot of sacrifices for the future. They gave Clint Capella a 3-year deal. That was a guy we were looking at as a guy for the non-taxpayer or the taxpayer mid-level exception. So they were able to really overpay, I feel like, some guys to get things done. And that happened with Dorian as well. I thought 4 years was a little bit an overpay, but that's a very productive player that we all saw. So, you know, the reporting is what it is. And I think a lot of people have also confirmed that reporting today. As you mentioned, you know, Zach Lowe went out and confirmed it as well in terms of the relationship that was destroyed, which is, again, sad. Dorian, I think, I'm sure if I was Dorian's agent, I have Luka Doncic on the Lakers. That's my client's best friend. Yeah. There is audio out there that my client says, I couldn't wait to go back to play with him. And so it's tough. Well, shout out Dorian. Like, that was actually the first player I got to talk to this season. So that was really cool. Yeah. Very cool dude. Very, very open, very transparent. Just seems like a really chill guy. So wish him luck in Houston, and sad that the relationship, I guess, ended, the way it did.
Yeah. I went and, covered the game when they played in Dallas, Luka's first game there. And, Dorian's family was there for that game. His little like kids were running around the locker room and stuff. And like, I don't know, I'm always very swayed by watching people parent and watching like people interact with their kids. And he was like so good with his kids that I like found myself, you know, obviously you hear stuff about players, you hear stuff about like their interests, the way that they treat people, all that stuff. But then, you know, I saw him, the way that he interacted with his kids, and it's like, man, this is like, all right, this is like a good person, you know, that it's not a matter of like, I guess I root for him by way of being a Laker, but like moving forward, you root for the human being. And when you hear about somebody who you consider like a good human being, having that done to him by somebody who he trusted, right, in Rob Pelinka, that kind of sucks, you know, it's just all right. You know, it's not all right how Rob handled that. And I hope that like, by way of this getting out there, that he starts to learn the shit gets back to people. I also think that like we can just leave it be. It's a thing that happened and we can all kind of move on. Now, it does suck that Dorian Finney-Smith isn't on the Lakers anymore. And it sucks that the Lakers moved actual assets to go out and get him last year. And now those assets are also further squandered by just letting him walk out the door. It puts greater onus on the Lakers having to sign somebody like DeAndre Ayton or somebody else or fully utilize that non-taxpayer mid-level exception. You know, and make up for that loss of Dorian Finney-Smith. Makes me wonder how Luka's going to feel hearing about his friend being treated this way. Also, that's not ideal. So yeah, it's all these things. It's all these factors. It's this big, dumb story that became even bigger and dumber over the last day or so. But my other thing here too, is like, again, this is sports. Man, like I was talking to Jen about this today and she was like, you know, I can't believe, I don't understand how you deal with the type of shit that you deal with. And I talked to so many other reporters and stuff who eventually at some point in their career, basically like stop looking at mentions, stop looking at their notifications, just like leave it alone. And I really don't want to be that guy. I really don't. I want to like, this is sports. I want to talk sports with other Laker fans. I want to be able to do that. But I also, when I look at my mentions and it's kill yourself, fatty, and you do this, and I hope you're done. Your family is this and you're that. And it's like, I'm not going to subject myself to that, you know, and those people who are doing that wind up ruining it for everybody, you know? Mm-hmm. So on that note, let's move on and talk about that center trade market where my colleague, Brett Siegel, reported that the Lakers have checked in on Nick Richards and Yves Mesi, right? Is I think how you're supposed to say
Yves Mesi. Yeah, Mesi. I believe that's right.
Mm. They have checked in on him. I will say that, you know, the Mesi thing dates back to last year when, as I've talked about this before, the Lakers were going to draft either Misi or Tristan Da Silva, and then Dalton fell to them, and they obviously took the best player available in their minds. And Nick Richards, I would hope that it would just be as like a break, you know, like a, like basically the role that Jackson Hayes should be playing, right, would be for Nick Richards, I would say, where he's like a backup to the backup. And then Misi, he was pretty dang good last year.
His numbers are insane. If you go look at them, if you take out the context that he was in New Orleans and just understand that there's a basketball being played there, even Misi's numbers are great. I put him, Anthony, in the Mark Williams boat, right? Kind of very athletic, jumpy, big, cheap contract, I would say. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense why they're going after him.
And one of the things that I've talked about, Raj, a lot is by way of these names, because like one of the things that people get really frustrated with my reporting about, so there's like a few ways to do what I try to do, right? Shams, Woj, they tweet out stuff as it's happening, right? They get notified that a trade is about to happen, all that stuff, and they wait until the thing is done before they report on something, and they try to hit that sweet spot between the thing being done and the team releasing the information themselves, right? And what I kind of try to do is use whatever information I have, and I always say it's incomplete information. I don't have the whole story on these things usually until afterward, right? Like the Brooke Lopez thing that I talked about earlier today, that was a story that I got in full after the fact, and it's like, sure, it would be nice to know this ahead of time, but that's not how it always works. And what I try to do is like paint a picture of what the Lakers are trying to accomplish by way of like the names that they're looking at, right? And one example of this is, so far we have heard with their exception money, whether it was the taxpayer mid-level exception or the actual mid-level exception, they have been linked to Clint Capella, Brooke Lopez, and Al Horford. And to me, that signals, like, if you just look at that trend,
a lot of losses. That's a lot of losses. What it signals, that's what it signals.
Just yeah.
A lot of losing. Well,
yeah. A few whiffs. It means to me that they are trying to bring in one steady veteran to kind of not just be like a productive voice in the locker room, like a Markieff Morris, but also get out there and play occasionally, right? You know, like the Haslam thing, he was able to be the voice that he was with the Heat because he was there for 40 years, but it's kind of difficult to just specifically bring in a veteran who isn't going to play and then hope that that veteran has a positive imprint on, or a tangible imprint on the locker room without playing. In this case, Al Horford, Brooke Lopez, to, I think, a slightly lesser degree, because Capella isn't quite seen as like a leader in the locker room type. I think they want a practical leader out there, you know, on their roster. And then the next thing that you're hearing with, or the next trend that I think is worth noting, Mark Williams last year, Yves Misi this time, Nick Richards, they were in on, they talked to Detroit about Jalen Duren last year. They, you know, like they, but the point is, and there's one more that I'm missing. Oh, Kessler, duh. They've been in on those kinds of players who are young, somewhat bouncy. And if they aren't bouncy, they're big and hard to move, and on their rookie scale contracts. So those are the two types of bigs that I think that the Lakers have made a concerted effort to go out and get. And now it's just going to, you know, it remains to be seen whether they're going to succeed in getting either kind of those bigs.
Yeah, it's to me, I'm just surprised, Anthony, that we are so, like, DeAndre Ayton has us by the neck. It's just the most insane result of this summer to me. That's not what I expected, especially weeks ago going to their final home game where they locked in 50 wins, right? It's just so insane that we are at this place where all the centers are off the market. All eggs are in the Ayton basket. Al Horford, which I'd rather have Al Horford, you know, than a lot of these bigs. He just turned 39, so he's under the 40-year-old, you know, threshold there. But they kind of showed their cards with the Mark Williams deal in terms of, to your point, the way that you reported, and they put a name behind that, right? They went after Mark Williams, and I think that kind of showed you what they're looking for at that position, a center to build with Luka rather than just go get a center that's already making the $20+ million range. I think they want someone that's young, that can have a year maybe to show that they belong, and then pay him. I think that's the kind of route that they would prefer. I think that's why Kessler is on that list as well, who has to get paid pretty soon here too. But yeah, I think for next season though, that's where it's so tricky to me. The Rich Paul quotes that came out in terms of the Lakers are pushing, or not Rich Paul, excuse me, Dave McMiniman article that came out and said, you know, they're pushing for 2027, which aligns with the Rich Paul quotes of LeBron coming out saying the Lakers are aligning for the future, you know, a lot of F words, like in a lot of futures in there, and
other F words too.
Yeah, I'm sure.
When I was reading it.
yeah, that's very fair. I'm sure LeBron also, LeBron and Rich Paul probably. They were not saying fine for sure. But yeah, so I'm interested to see what they do, but it's so weird to be on like this pins and needles for DeAndre Ayton, like a player with no, and to be clear, I think he's the best option. Wrote about him. I think that guy is the most talented big on the market. The story's coming out how I think Harrison posted he loves video games more. He was like really excited to play his video game over a huge game that was coming up, or the stuff coming out of Portland. But yeah, that's where my mind's been, Anthony, in terms of the free agent center market. And we've just stopped everything else, I guess. Like, we can't have no minimum signings, zero trades, have not upgraded from the wing position, no point of attack defender has brought in other than Adu Thiero, which I am very excited about. But
yeah,
I'm shocked that we are just sitting here waiting. Jake LaRavia, we did sign, and I'm excited for him as well. But yeah, I'm just shocked that we're here waiting on DeAndre Ayton, who literally had zero like, I don't think people understand when a buyout occurs, it's because a team could get nothing for him. Like they absolutely, I'm not on the phone calls, but I'm assuming it went something like, no. All right. Well,
no, like, well, no. Cause I, like in a very like oversimplified way, you're right. The thing is, Portland didn't want to take in long-term money for him. So, sure. Like, all of the money that they wanted to get for... And by the way, he was slated to make, like, $30 million.
Yeah.
And if you're sending out $30 million and some team has $30 million of expiring salary, they aren't going to want to use it on DeAndre Ayton without getting something in return, you know? And so the Blazers basically made the decision, we don't want to take back long-term money, and we don't want to have to give up anything to get off this guy's, the final year of this guy's contract. So let's just eat this. And by the way, this is what happens in the NFL all the time, where a lot of teams, they could trade something for, you know, they could, you'll have like good players get waived often and cut in the NFL. And it's because they check out the trade market. And all of these teams that know, well, if we just wait like 15 minutes, you're going to cut this guy. So we can completely put you over a barrel if you want and get a trade done, or you could just cut the guy. And eventually teams make the decision, okay, we'll just cut him. And I think that's where the NBA is heading.
And I want to be clear. I think getting Ayton for technically free, obviously you still have to pay him whatever the $8 million that we have.
And it costs you Dorian.
Yeah. Yes. That opened up Dorian opened up this plus the biannual exception as well, which I think is about 4 point something. So hopefully those two add up to whatever you hopefully lost from Dorian. But getting Ayton for free is an absolute gift. I mean, I was thinking about this today, Anthony. What if Ayton wasn't available? Like, he was just on Portland. The Lakers would have had to give $35 million in salary to get him. We're in a dark place. I mean, that takes another center off the market. That leaves you really with Nick Claxton. And I have doubts that the Lakers want to, I don't know, move salary and assets this summer in any deal, let alone to go get a center that's already paid. But yeah, I just, DeAndre Ayton, a lot of our season next year hinges on the Lakers being able to get DeAndre Ayton, because that allows you to then to go get the wing with the assets you have. It just gets you in a much cleaner road than if Ayton goes and chooses Indiana or Milwaukee or whatever teams are kind of, I guess he's mulling over on his decision. He also has to take a pay cut to come here, makes it even trickier. Well, pay cut is assuming that the other teams would offer him the full MLE or more than Lakers. That's, you know, that's an assumption that I'm making, but yeah, a lot of this hinges on Lakers getting DeAndre Ayton, whose numbers still look incredible from last season. Now everyone will be like, there's context around that. There's, you know, the eye test doesn't really match, what I think is all fair. You're betting on the talent for one season. And hopefully that works, but the Lakers are in a tough spot. I thought this would be done. I thought we would have contingency plans in place set up to have this center thing worked out day one, 3 o'clock. Yeah. It was 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Free agency, and to be sitting here at 7:24 on day two with no center,
hoping for DeAndre Ayton. Here's a text that I got from Matt Moore, obviously everybody's favorite guest on this show. He texted me, if the Pacers were to grab Ayton, how fucked are the Lakers? And my response was, if you're asking that question, I know, already screwed. You know, like if your season rests on the lazy shoulders of DeAndre Ayton, then that's kind of the story.